Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It would make an interesting outreach strategy. Put up barricades all around your church property, 6 feet high all the way around, blazing orange, and large, menacing signs, lots of signs posted all along those barricades, warning, risk of death. God is here. Do not approach. Anyone crossing the line will be stoned or shot. P.S. Keep your pets back, too. P.P.S. Your clothes are dirty. Would be an interesting outreach strategy. If you decide to go this route, please do not tell your district president that you got this idea from me. But why not? Why aren't our church properties designed like this? Why don't we station greeters on the sidewalks all around our church, armed with flaming swords, preventing all comers? Why is the calling of a pastor and the people in a congregation to invite and welcome people in, rather than, as God commands Moses in this text, to barricade the people out and see to it that no one, not even a stray animal, ventures too close? What does a passage like Exodus 19 have to do with people today? It is far too easy for contemporary hearers to be confronted with a text like this and to simply smile and nod and move on without even beginning to wrestle with the reality that the God portrayed in this text is their God. He is God today. He is the only God. So who is this God, this Yahweh, veiled in cloud and thunder and lightning? What was going on at that mountain? In many ways, the whole theology of the Old Testament is rooted and summarized in this encounter at the mountain. There are 50 sermons that could be preached on this passage. But this morning, I'd like to focus on just one theme under three closely related points. First, the God at Sinai is a God who desires to draw people unto himself. He wants this. He wants his people to know him, and he wants his people near to him. He wants Moses near, and also the many thousands of ragged, weary, stiff-necked former slaves. God desires to draw you near as well. He wants this. When humanity was tainted by sin, God banished them from Eden, drove them out and away from the tree of life, away from the garden of paradise, away from the ground upon which he himself walked about. Mighty angels barred the way. God had shut the door to us, and there was no way of returning. Men built a great tower to reach perhaps into the heavens, but it was no use. God had to go far down just to look at this tower, and he scattered men across the face of the earth. And yet, although there was no way for humanity to draw near again to God, our God still desired and determined that he would draw near again to them. He called Abraham and multiplied his offspring greatly. When they became enslaved in Egypt, God stretched out his arm and he brought them out from the house of slaves and from Pharaoh's yoke. You have seen what I have done to the Egyptians, God tells Moses in this chapter to say to the people. Say to the people, you have seen what I have done to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, God says. God has set the people free from Pharaoh's yoke and brought them out of the land of Egypt, not just to be their own people, not to be on their own, but to be his people and to be with him here at the mountain, around his tabernacle in the wilderness, and eventually to dwell with him throughout their generations in the land of promise. So that's one clear thing about God in Exodus 19. In spite of all the strangeness of this scene, here God reveals himself as a God who desires to bring his people near to himself. But, a second point, it is no easy thing for a sinful people to approach God. And so it is no simple, easy thing even for God to bring such a people near to himself. In many ways, Exodus 19 is like a replay of Exodus 3, the account of the burning bush. There, Moses had been out tending his flock in the wilderness, minding his own business, or at least his father-in-law's business, and suddenly the angel of Yahweh appears, beckoning to Moses through this strange sight, a burning bush which is not consumed. And then he explicitly calls to Moses, "Moses, Moses, come over here." And yet, as soon as Moses begins to approach, God says to him, "Don't come near. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." And Moses has to hide his face because he's afraid to look upon God. It is no easy thing for a sinful people to approach God. It is terrifying, hazardous, deadly. And so also here in Exodus 19, when the people come to the mountain, barricades? Really? Not even an animal can touch the mountain. If anyone touches even the edge of the mountain, God says he must die. He must not live. Kill him, but don't touch him. Throw stones at him. Shoot him with darts or arrows. But if he has touched the mountain, don't touch him. Not even priests should dare to approach God apart from proper consecration and at the proper time. And God is so concerned to guard the people against the danger of approaching him that even after he has warned Moses, and Moses has gone down and warned the people, and they've set up barricades around the mountain, God tells Moses again to go back down and warn the people so that they don't break through to their own peril. And Moses sounds like he's speaking to a forgetful grandfather or something in his reply. "Lord, the people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself already warned us. Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it." And God tells Moses to go down anyway and to come back up with Aaron, but while he's down, to warn priests and people against coming up the mountain, lest Yahweh break out against them. God desires to draw people near to himself, but it is no easy thing. Later in Exodus, he will pass by Moses, but as he's passing by, he will have to hide Moses in the cleft in the rock. And even at the end of the book of Exodus, when the tabernacle is completed and everything is set up and in place, everything seems right in the world with God and his people, Moses cannot enter into that newly set up tabernacle because the glory cloud of Yahweh has descended on the tabernacle and filled it. It is no easy thing for mortal sinners to come near to this God. But the third point is this. Here at Mount Sinai, even in the midst of all of the smoke and shaking, we see God finding a way to bring his people forward to meet him. We could speak about this in some length, but just reflect for a moment on the bare facts. God has appointed Moses as the mediator, and here he commands Moses with the task of consecrating the people, making the people holy and so fit to meet with God. Through Moses, God commands the people to wash their clothing, a washing which will make them fit to be in the presence of this God. And God commands them to wait for the appointed time, the third day. And at the appointed time, on the morning of the third day, the mountain-shaking trumpet of God will declare, "The hour is at hand. Beloved people, come out and meet your God." And even then, it will be Moses the mediator who brings this consecrated, washed people out of the camp to meet the God who has come down from heaven to dwell with man once again. Oh, Moses, what must you have been thinking, experiencing as all this unfolded? What majesty, what glory, what awesomeness, what joy. And then, centuries later, to stand in this world once again upon a mountain and to hear again the voice of God from the cloud, to stand there beside Elijah, beholding the Word of God in human flesh in the face of Jesus Christ, to behold the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord in human flesh in the face of Jesus Christ, to behold the Malach Yahweh, the angel of the Lord in human flesh in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, Moses, how dirty the clothes of the people must have been back at Sinai. After the bitter labor of Egypt, after the travails of the wilderness journey, how stubborn some of the stains must have been, how dingy still the whites, no matter how fervently they beat them, no matter how diligently they scrub them. But here on the mountain of Transfiguration, you see the one whose pure garments are truly fit for the holy presence of God. As you stand beside Jesus, whose clothes are radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Here on this mountain, Moses, you speak with Jesus about the work which he will do, his coming death, his coming resurrection. Men could not return to God, and so God has come to open the way. For us men and for our salvation, this Jesus has come down from heaven so that God may dwell with us and we with God forever. Coming down the mountain, Jesus will warn his disciples not to tell anyone about what they saw there at his transfiguration, not until he has risen from the dead, until the risen God comes to meet with them on the morning of the third day. And repentance and washing for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations throughout all generations and to us also until the appointed hour when the trumpet of God shall sound. And Jesus himself will appear a second time and he will lead us out of our dwellings to meet with our God and to dwell with him forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in this Christ Jesus. Amen.